super excited. You'll learn a little bit about me as we go through today, but you'll learn that has nothing to do with me. This morning I had a sweet experience that will tell you, for me, what I hope happens in the next few hours we have together. Not just with me, but the other presenters. I met Brother Allen, and I know he's prepared. This morning I went on a walk, staying at the Marriott down the road, and I'm from Arizona, and so it's desert, and it's hot. You have a beautiful, beautiful place here. And I had looked on the map that the Provo River ran real close to where I was going to be. So earlier this morning, I went on a walk. And as I approached the river, I started to hear the sound. And this Arizona boy gets excited about stuff like that. I grew up right in the middle of the desert. And for those who live here in Utah, you are lucky to be surrounded by mountains and water. As I heard the water, as I was approaching, I couldn't see it, I'm still on the street, I got hit with the feeling that that's what today is all about. Each of us, me and you, on a journey to the living water. And the closer we get to the living water, the more our hearts can be comforted, the more peace can come. I testify the living water is Christ. And even when we're not next to the water, he sends that sound of the current. Please reflect on a time where you've heard the current of a river running by. That sound he sends, even when we're not next to the water. So today, I hope to go on a sweet journey in the scriptures. I have to ask a favor. If you have your scriptures, please get them. If you have Gospel Library, use those. We're going to be heavily in the scriptures. This is not going to be me lecturing you. It's literally on a journey through the Word of God. But I'm going to move around. I have a hard time being still. First and foremost, if you have to leave in the next 5-10 minutes, don't leave. Because we're going to do something the next 10 minutes, and I don't want to cause a ripple where it shouldn't be rippled. But when my tie goes in back, I'm no longer going to be Brother Allen. I'm going to be a guy, I'm just going to call him Investigator Joe. Okay? Investigator Joe is an investigator all of you are teaching the gospel of Christ to. Imagine you're a missionary. My oldest daughter's in the mission field right now. Imagine you're a companion with her and you're teaching me the gospel. Is that okay? We're going to go on a journey. And Investigator Joe has some pretty sincere questions, but I'm not going to be nice. So I need your mind to engage at a pretty intense level. So if you came here just to kind of chill and just go on a ride today, at least the next 10 minutes, engage. Is that cool? All right, Investigator Joe, you ready? Last week, you guys met with me, and you taught me about the Godhead. You taught me that the LDS faith, the Mormons believe, the Godhead is what? Three separate beings, God the Father, Christ, all right, and the Holy Ghost. And you taught me they're three separate beings. I went on to use some scriptures, everything from D&C 130 to John 17 to Acts 7. After that, you share that with me. As an evangelical Christian, I shared my belief in Christ and God and the Holy Ghost. My idea of the Godhead is God and Christ and the Holy Ghost are three separate elements within one whole. It's the egg analogy. Have you ever heard of the egg analogy? If I had an egg in my hand right now, how many things would you say is in my hand right now? So you would say there's three things. How many would say if I had an egg in my hand, you would say there's one thing in my hand? Wow, about half of the group. Could we have an argument? Say that again. So at the end of our last week discussion, Investigator Joe with the missionaries, we agreed to respectfully agree to disagree. Right? Are we good? It's actually pretty similar. Okay? That's the background for today's lesson. Sisters or elders, Thanks for visiting with me today. I know you have a prepared lesson. Before you teach that lesson, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I didn't hear you guys up there. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, good. On Sunday, I went to church, and my preacher said, "Hey, Joe, are you still meeting with the missionaries?" I said, "Yeah, I have an appointment with them on Saturday morning up in Utah." He's like, "Before you go and meet with them next time, come to my office. I have a question I need you to ask them." So I went to his office, and behind his desk was a picture of the temple. Him and his wife in front of the Salt Lake Temple. I said, "Preacher, what is that?" He goes, "Oh, I used to be a Mormon. I grew up a Mormon. I went on a mission for the church to the Philippines. I got married in the temple. And then I found out Joe Smith was a liar, so I lead our church now, our congregation. I have a question I want you to ask the missionaries." He said, "But I need to teach you something about the LDS missionaries. And you have to, they have to make a promise before you ask the question. So are you willing to make a promise? Let's do this." Here's what he explained to me, and you guys can help me out since some of you have been members a long time. In nursery, when little tiny kids are, how many of you have little kids? Okay, good, or had little kids. When they're really little, you teach them how to bear their testimony. You get in their ear and you're like, "I want to bear my testimony. I want to bear my testimony. Do you remember that?"
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It's just Mormon brainwashing, but it starts really young. And then they get in the MTC, the Mission Training Center, before they go, and they're taught, if anybody ever asks you a question you don't know how to answer, just start bearing your testimony. Bing bong. Just bear your testimony. "Elders or sisters, I need to ask a favor. This question, no crazy bear testimony mode. Don't go into, I want to discuss doctrine and truth about Christ. We got an agreement?" "You can do that, but after we find truth, okay? Go to Mosiah 15 with me. Go to Mosiah 15. As you go that, I have a question for you. Do you believe, as Mormons, the Bible is the word of God as far as it is translated correctly?" You're good. You went to the training center, didn't you? "Do you believe the Book of Mormon is the Word of God as far as it's translated correctly?" Ooh, I got yes and I got no's. I'll repeat again. You're going to have to think a little bit. I told you, you have to engage. You did, but some others, okay? "Do you believe the Book of Mormon is the Word of God as far as it's translated correctly?" I got yes and no. This is good. One companion this. Did you go to the different MTCs? Say that. Tell me your name, brother.
"The Book of Mormon is the Word of God. Translation doesn't come into it at all. It's translated by the power."
According to Joseph Smith and, what was your name, sir?
"My name's Damon."
According to Damon and Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. Not as far as it's been translated correctly. It is translated correctly. Would you say that's what you believe?
Yes.
So, question. If there's doctrinal mistakes in the Book of Mormon, what happens if there's not mistakes of men but doctrinal mistakes? What happens to the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon? And if the Book of Mormon crumbles, what happens to the Mormon faith? Now, all you are shaking your head and going, "No, I know, I know." Before you go, "I know," go to Mosiah 15. Help me out. I know you do, and this is going to be fun. Hey, just so you know, hey, before you get crazy, remember who I really am. I'm Brother Allen. I believe in all this. So there is an answer, and it's a beautiful answer. So you don't have to yell at me. We aren't going to debate. We're going to talk of truth joyfully and lovingly. But Investigator Joe has an honest question. And it is. Seriously, if you've ever contended with somebody who is not of our faith, and I have a chance to talk often as families bring their children to me, or adults, there's an all-out attack on truth today. And I'll bear witness from the bottom of my soul, Joseph Smith was a prophet of God. This book is absolutely true. I know it. Brigham was a prophet. Thomas S. Monson's a prophet. And I'll tell you a secret. Every single attack on those prophets today are not an attack on prophets. They're an attack on Christ. So I will fight and defend truth because I love Christ, not Joseph Smith, not Brigham Young or Thomas Monson. I don't worship them. I worship the Savior of mankind. Now you know where I stand. Let's get Joe, Investigator Joe, an honest seeker of truth back. Okay? Mosiah 15. Oh, we're going to start in verse 1. Mosiah 15:1. Can I have, actually, I have the microphone, so I have to read. I don't like that. Yeah, but they want the microphone working. And sadly, even though the last couple of years, I've had to learn how to wear these. I don't do good with glasses. So these are my reading glasses. We'll see how well. I don't do it often, but I can't see without them. And now Abinadi said unto them, by the way, Abinadi, a good or bad guy to you Mormons? So everything he taught is truth, right? Right? Okay. And Abinadi said unto them, I would that you should understand that God himself shall come down among the children of men and shall redeem his people. Who's going to come down? God himself. He didn't say Christ. He said God himself. Listen to what you learn about the God who's going to come down. And because he dwelleth in the flesh, he shall be called the Son of God, having subjected the flesh to the will of the Father, being the Father and the Son. Verse 3. The Father, because he was conceived by the power of God, and the Son, because of the flesh, thus becoming, for the second time in a row, the Father and the Son. Will you do me a favor? Remember our lesson last week? Do you remember our discussion about the Godhead, this here, and do you remember the egg? Is Abinadi teaching what I believe or what you believe? Stop. Let's read verse 4, because I think it might clarify. Verse 4. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father of heaven and earth. I don't think I heard that right. Let me read it one more time. And they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father heaven and earth. I played baseball, 3 strikes and you're, one more time. And they are one God, and they are one God, the very eternal Father of heaven and earth. Now, sisters, I have an honest question. I'm not trying to prove the Mormon church right or wrong. I want to know. It sounds like Abinadi's teaching what I believe, not what you believe. Yeah, that's exactly what you said last week. You had this big discussion. They're one in purpose. John 10:30, I said, I and the Father are one. You brought up Acts 7. Stephen saw them both together. John 17. Matthew 3, the baptism. We already talked about one in purpose. Abinadi's not using any phrases about one in purpose. In verse 4, he says, they are one God, yea, the very eternal Father in heaven and earth. I'm confused. I pray often. The Mormons do not own the patent on prayer. Yes? Hey, can you give it to Todd here?
Similarly, when Isaiah speaks of us being the clay to the of the Father, and the Father being the Creator, here he's speaking of the flesh being subject to the will of the Father. He's speaking of the Father being the Creator, and that's analogous to what you're saying here. That yes. The Father is being spoken of as the Creator, and we do believe that, in fact, Christ is the Father of the earth and that he is the Creator.
Beautiful.
And that is what we mean by when we say Christ is the Creator, he is the Father of the earth of us because he created the flesh.
Beautiful, beautiful. But I have a question. In verse 4, it says they are one God, the very eternal Father of heaven and earth. In verse 1, it says, who's going to come down? God himself. He's going to be the Father and the Son. Just be honest with me. Just for a second, be honest with me. Does it sound like a Benedictine teaching, this doctrine or this doctrine? How many think it's this one? Raise your hand. Can you be an honest Mormon for 1 second? That's what it sounds like, right? It does. So, if this is it, then what happens to the foundation? Now, I'm going to make this real easy. If you were in my institute class, I don't know how to turn this off. If you're in my institute class in Arizona, whenever I bring up this question, I said, I have a role play I want to do. All the recently returned missionaries are like, yeah, let's go. I got you. Then we go on this journey, and we go here, and they're like, ugh. And then there was a class about this month. There was 150, 200 students one day, and I'm like, I don't understand. A couple of them raised their hand and said, I have the answer. Jesus is our Father. He's the Creator. He's the Father, and that's kind of what it's teaching here. And then I stop and say, wait, how many of you believe that Jesus is your daddy? Do the Mormons teach that doctrinally from the pulpit? In a way. Okay, my tie just came down. Damon, I love it. Can I ask a favor? And this is the whole goal of where we're going. Who is a Benedite teaching this day?
Members of the church.
Specifically, though, he was teaching King Noah. Tell me about King Noah. And his priest, and only one listened. Who was King Noah? He was the father of Limhi. Tell me about him, though. Yes. Terrible, wicked, perverted, disgusting. Can we keep going?
But who was his father, though? His father was none of those things.
You're right. His father and his son weren't. Now, we can get into a beautiful discussion about that history, but let me just say this. In a Benedictine teaching, King Noah, this is why this is so confusing to many members. Does King Noah need a discourse from a Benedictine about the Godhead and the egg and so forth? No. He needs one topic, one doctrine to change his soul. And what's that topic? It's Christ and the atonement. Now, I have to be honest with you. One of the reasons why this is so confusing to so many is because we don't teach the atonement as clear as we need to. I'll give you an example. In the church, from when you're young, and I apologize for those who are up here. This might be small, but I'll leave it up here. The second class, I think it's going to be a little more intimate and small. We'll move up. We'll do a lot of Q&A. Kind of go on, just ask a lot more questions. But I apologize, but help me out. When you were little, in nursery and primary, how many fathers were you taught that you have? Two. Who are they? God is the father of our spirit, and dad or daddy is the father of our body. That's where we usually end it. And the reason why it's so confusing, to be honest with you, is we don't teach this doctrine right. So, do me a favor. Go on a journey with me in the scriptures. How is Christ our Father? Go with me to Mosiah 5:7 to start off. Mosiah chapter 5, verse 7. Do we have the microphone? Can you hand it to somebody to read that? Mosiah 5:7. And will you do me a favor? If you have Gospel Library, you may want to just underline or highlight, how do we become a child of Christ? I love that. Listen to what Mosiah says.
Mosiah 5:7.
Please.
And now, because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he hath spiritually begotten you. For ye say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore ye are born of him and have become his sons and his daughters.
How do we become a child of Christ? We're born of him. We what? We make a covenant. And you know that. What covenant do we make? It is baptism. When we go into the waters of baptism and we come out, completely immersed in the water and come out, we are a brand new person. Born again. But this time we are a child of who? Christ. If I ask with the right southern drawl in a Mormon congregation, do Mormons believe in being born again? You know what a lot of Mormons would say? No. Do we believe in absolutely being born again? How do we know that? God always repeats eternal truth. Next to Mosiah 5:7, you may want to put a cross reference or a note. Mosiah 27. We're going to look at 24 to 26. And will you do me a favor, as you look at those three verses, just highlight or underline any baptism words or ideas. Any baptism words or ideas. Just highlight that. 27, 24, 25, and 26. I'll start reading. You can sit. Relax. For said he, I have repented of my sins. I have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. Help me out. What baptism words did you see? Repented. Born. Redeemed. Let's keep going. Look for more. Highlight more. What other baptism words do you see? And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women and all nations, kindred, tongues, and people must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, to be redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters. And thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Give me more baptism words. Born again, a few times. Born of God. Changed. Redeemed. One of my very favorites. Become what? New creatures. When somebody goes in the waters of baptism and they come out of the waters of baptism, they are a new creature. And now, they're a new creature in who? Who is now their father? Jesus Christ has literally become their father. So if God is the father of our spirit and dad is the father of our body, then I propose Christ is the father of our spiritual rebirth. He is our spiritual father. Yes? You always pray to God the Father. Christ has asked us to do that, but we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. If we understand the unity of the Godhead, then we understand they are more unified than you and I can comprehend. But Christ himself has asked that we pray to the Father in his name. Beautiful question. That can be a beautiful thing if you understand the unity of the Godhead. A number of years ago, there was a movement at BYU here where a book was written about praying to Christ and building a personal relationship with Christ that almost goes around the Father. And one of the Quorum of the Twelve asked the professor who wrote that book to come in. I had a friend who was in his class after that meeting. And that professor humbly got up in front of his huge class, bigger than this, and said, I'm sorry, I was wrong. We always pray to the Father in the name of Christ. Does Father want us to come unto Christ? That's a beautiful teaching. Now, go back to Mosiah 15 if you're confused. Let's look at those four verses again, because I think they'll make perfect sense now. Yes?
Wouldn't it be the Father of our salvation instead of our spiritual father?
Beautiful. For me, when you say salvation, it's the same thing in my head. But if that works for you.
But, I mean, if you're saying God is the Father of our spirit, and we use spiritual and spirit as one of the same things.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. See, the beauty of the gospel of Christ is all of us use our own words. For me, spirit and spiritual are very different meanings. Correct. In fact, I will let you know, do not teach your kids to teach this in the mission field.